Good morning, everybody. Well, good morning. And I was thinking this morning, and I'm thinking a lot about the gospel, what the Lord has done for us. And I was listening to the ministers' convention this past week on audio on MP3. And I remember hearing that song, "I'm Trading My Sorrows. I'm trading my pain. Trade them for the joy of the Lord." And see, the only one that can actually take those things off you and give you a joy was Jesus. And through what He's done on the cross. And you know, if we really believed the gospel, I mean, I want us to examine ourselves. I mean, if we truly believe the gospel, if we really believe that, would our lives look different? And I don't want you to speak up or anything. I just want you to look at what you've been doing. Because if we truly believe the Lord, we would be dying to ourselves daily and living for Him, bringing Him glory. And so, as I look in my life, I can see areas where I have not fully grasped that gospel. And how many times I choose myself over Him or others. And it's really not a joyous place, but a miserable one. I'm really not cashing in that garbage that I have and getting the joy of the Lord. I'm really not laying down my life and the things that are just not profitable at all for the joy of the Lord. And I want to read something. Remember when David was talking about the corn? You being the corn out in Texas. Man, that's some good news. Do we take heed to that? Have we done that? Have we laid down our lives for Him? Are you loving one another? Are you loving Him at all? I mean, it's a serious question. I mean, I just don't want us to be deceived here. I mean, fathers, you loving your wives? Wives, you're submitting to your husbands? Children, you're obeying your parents? People in general, are you listening to those that are under discipleship? Are you listening to your disciplers? Are you constantly rejecting it or trying to process it with your own intellect instead of having faith in Jesus Christ? See, He bled for us. See, He loved us. See, He laid down His life so that we can have life. In Him is light and there is no darkness at all. He's good. He doesn't want you bound up. He wants you free. He doesn't want those things that have been held against you anymore. He wants those washed away. But the thing is that one thing that we have is free will. It's up to us to receive that good gift that He's given us. And it's a simple choice. It's a simple choice. I want to go to John chapter 12. Verse 23. And Jesus answered them, saying, "The hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." See, the key is not loving your life, loving his life. More than your own. See, look, I know that without Him I can't do anything. Unless I put, we have another scripture that says, unless you hate your father, mother, brother, sister, yea, in your own life also, you cannot be my disciple. That word hate is not a hate I hate you with emotion and feeling. No, that hate is preference. And see, you know, I know that if I don't prefer the Lord first in anything I do, then it's no good for anybody. Because it's His Spirit, His love that worketh in me to profit them. And I have nowhere to glory in. Because it's Him doing the work, not myself. And sometimes I think the biggest thing that we have a hard time doing is just grasping the fact that He loved you enough to lay down His life for you. He made a choice. It wasn't that He was happy with you. He wasn't happy with the creation in the world, with how things were going. He wasn't happy, but He chose to love you while you were yet an enemy unto Him. While they were saying, "Crucify Him, crucify Him, crucify Him." Father, forgive them, for they didn't know not what they do. Can we receive that? Are we going to receive that love that He's given us? Because it's not based on anything of what you do that you have life. It's all based on what He has done for you. And His hand's been outstretched, and His hand's been outstretched, and His hand's been outstretched unto us. Yet are we going to take it? I mean, we can shake our heads and say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." But does our life really resemble that? Are we walking as He walked? Are we taking His word seriously? Are we truly laying down our lives for His sake? Are we really preferring one another over our own selves? See, because if you believed the gospel, you would be walking as he walked. And I say this because we just need a sobering up. We need a waking up. I mean, what good is the body if we're not laying down our lives for his sake? What good are we? Nothing. Because for him to operate through you, you must lay your life down. And unless we do that, we're not going to move forward. Do you want other people to have the same opportunity as you did? Do you want your children to grow up knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and having a relationship with them? I tell you what, I don't care if my daughters are a freaking janitor. I don't care if they're a dishwasher for the rest of their life. Not in the physical sense, put it in the dishwasher, but wash dishes for us. I don't care. But if they know Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ, then praise God. That's all that matters. That's all that matters. I don't care what kind of college they go to, and even if they do. But I want them to know the Lord. I want others to know the Lord. Why would the Lord bring somebody across a body if we're not doing what he says for us to do? Love God, love one another. We can't get the first part right. Why would he bring somebody our way? Because all that would do was turn them away from him, wouldn't it? Wouldn't bring them in. They will know you're my disciples by your love for one another. And that's husbands and fathers. What's going on behind our four walls? All you guys got a position, whether you like it or not. Are you leading them in that direction? Or are you just showing them how to love your own flesh? Which the flesh just wants to drag you down, carry it down to hell with it. It's cursed. It's going to die. I know I don't want my children's souls to go down with it. Mine either, or neither any of y'all's. See, the Lord gave us peace with Him. You know, it's funny. This is how we're a lot like. I talk about the spies. I just was reading, I think it was Numbers. And let's turn to it for a second. I think it's Numbers 12. And somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that front. Where was it that we were reading that hope in the midst of that? I believe it's somewhere in Numbers. And the report, here's the Lord that made a promise unto Abraham. How he was going to make a great nation. And he takes the children of Israel out of bondage. Destroys the enemy. And he's ready to give them a whole land flowing with milk and honey. So he can be a God and he can be a God unto them and they can be his children. His people. Lord wants to mark that. He wants to bless them. He wants to give them everything they can dream of having. And when the 10 came back, they had an evil report of how these were giants over in that land. Yeah, there were big guys over there. Who cares? But Joshua and Caleb knew the promise of the Lord. and said, hey, you know, Caleb's sitting there saying, hey, let's go take the land now. This is what the Lord's promised. Let's go take the land right now. And the rest said, no, you know, the Lord brought us out here to die. We were better just to stay in Egypt. It was better back out there, putting all this evil motive on the Lord. It wasn't His intention at all. His intention was to bless them, give them life, give them freedom from bondage. That's His intention for us too. In Him is light and there is no darkness at all. But how many of us look at that situation? How many look at that, looks at that giants? And look with our natural. And see the situation too big. You know what? The situation is too big for you, but it's not too big for our awesome God that we just sang about. It's not. We're talking about the God who created heaven and earth and spoke things into existence. Spoke them into existence. By faith. And then He knew man couldn't do it. They couldn't be righteous on their own. So He came down off His throne and died for us. Paying the price for us that we may have life. That's a loving God. Why don't we receive that? Do we take heed to the report of the goodness of God? Or do we take heed to the report of this carnal mind? Man that is strapped to our back. Way too often we take heed to the report of the carnal man that is strapped to our back. And it's trying to kill you. It's trying to drag you down to hell. It says it's an enemy of God. And the Lord freed us from that enemy. Are we going to walk in His victory? Because see, if we're walking in His victory, we'd be walking as He walked. See, if we were really grabbing hold of that gospel and believe that in Him is light and no darkness at all, our lives would look different. And the Lord has set up so many gifts around. The Lord has His hand all around. He's given us authorities that have been through the same thing we have and can relate and can understand and guide you. But if we don't take heed to that advice, then don't blame God when you get in a bad situation. Having faith in Him. It's not about the person. It's about Him and His way. We have His Word. Do we take heed to the Word? We have brothers and sisters in the Lord that love us. Are you humbling yourselves and actually considering what they even say? Because so many times, and I've seen it just we go through, we actually reject those good things of the Lord that He's given us. But you know what? That can change right now. You know what His Word says? His Word says His mercies are renewed every day. you know what the Lord has done for us? He died on the cross for our sin. He washed it away. He took it out of the way. All those things that were against us, He blotted out. He blotted out. What does James say? Count it all joy when you what? Fall into divers temptations. So opposite of the carnal, isn't it? Because the trying of faith worketh patience. Paul talked about an unswerving loyalty. Well, you have to rely solely on the blood of the Lamb. My forgiveness can't do anything for you. Doesn't blot things out. The states or the government's pardon doesn't do anything for you. It doesn't blot it out. No, it's Jesus Christ and His blood that blotted it out. And that's the thing we ought to be trusting in. What He has done. And in the power of the resurrection, that we may able to be live with Him and take part of His life, which is so much far better than ours. Remember? Remember, guys, when we came to the cross, when our burden was rolled away? See, we got in that hole by our own life, by our own choices. But He lifted us up out of that hole by what He had done. So let's apply that blood of Christ to our hearts. Let's get on our knees. Let's repent for the way we've been. Repent means changing of mind. And let's lay down that old carnal sucker that is trying to drag you down. And let's start living unto Him. And watch Him move abundantly above we can ask or think. He's done it before. He'll do it again. That's what He wants to do, that He may be glorified, that others may have the same opportunity as we had. Let's start walking, believing the gospel, believing it for you, yourself, personally. What He has done for you. Let's not be the other 10 spies that look at the natural, look at the carnal, and reject the promise of God. Let's be like Caleb and Joshua, who believes God's report and believes what He has done and believes of what He's able to do. And let's start moving forward in that. Amen? Let's start today. Let's start right now. Let's just lay it all down and go forward in Him. There's nothing holding you back except you. So don't let it anymore. Lay it down. Amen? That's all I have.
I don't know that I have anything to add to that. It was well stated. God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. So you have a chance. That's why He came. Because without Him, you don't have a chance. No chance. But you get a couple of verses down, and you find out that condemnation was already in the world. And at verse 19, this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. You know, I was told one time that I made it entirely too difficult for people to love me. And I wasn't really sure how that was going to work itself out in me, but I was totally unaware of it. As we often are. I don't know what your schedule is, but you wake up, when you wake up, you're waking up into darkness. And you have to choose to bring the light in. Get into the Word. It doesn't just fall on you because you rolled out of bed. To the degree that you come to that light every day, you're being transformed into somebody who's inheriting eternal life. Somebody who's seeking to please the Lord. If you're not coming to the light, then you're content with your evil deeds and an evil heart of unbelief. And you're making it way too hard for your family to love you. And you know, you're doing things that minister, instead of faith and the resurrection power of the Lord, you're ministering rebellion. And unbelief and rebellion, and you cannot receive from the Lord. Now the Lord's not doing this to you. He's still sitting there with his arms outstretched waiting on you to come back to the light and be not conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the washing and renewing of the Word. And you have to choose to love His life. And you have to choose to want to live His life. That's what, you know, recently been into the Beatitudes. You have heard it said, an eye for an eye, but I say unto you, he who smites you on the cheek, turn the other cheek. There's three possibilities if something like that happens. One is you hit back, you fight. Two is you run. Three is you turn back the other cheek because you still are yet about ministering grace and mercy to that person. That is the choice Jesus made. That is the choice that you make if you're in Him. You take the third thing. Now, everybody else's first reaction is to run or fight. Jesus' reaction was to love. And that's what the Beatitudes are about. That's submitting yourself to the transforming and renewing of your mind. That is ministering love and grace and mercy to those around you, those you interact with. I'm reminded of a Keith Green song. Keith Green's song goes something like, "You prefer the light of your TV, you love the world, and you're avoiding me." That's somebody who's avoiding the light. And I hold up what Phil said. Man, lay down that dirty old carcass and move on. You can find out how to please the Lord. He can be pleased. And He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Right? That's what Hebrews 11:6 says. You must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. I'm not satisfied with my quotation. But without faith, it's impossible to please Him. You have to get out of that darkness and agree and believe and agree with Him that He's pleasable. I don't know what you've got your faith in, but you need to put it in Him. Not in your bank account or your 401k or your new Toyota Camry or, you know, whatever it is. It is, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You seek Him, learn what pleases Him, and then stand in line, because the windfall, He's a rewarder. The rewards are coming. That's what it says. Because when your heart is to please Him, He rewards that behavior. He rewards the faith. He can reward that attitude. He cannot reward rebellion and unbelief. And that's what every other behavior is. I'm done.